are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Brian Peacock here with you on this Thursday edition of the show. I'm here for you. I'm part of the Locked On Podcast Network. We do this daily. I was not going to let this weekend go by and the rest of this week go by without getting you a podcast. So here we are, normal time, Thursday. Even though I'm on vacation, I got you guys. 49ers are signing players, so I'm here with you in a remote location high atop the Sierras, bringing you another episode of Locked On 49ers. The action continued on the first day of the new league year, and when signings could become official, the 49ers continued to be active, as did a lot of teams around the NFL. So we'll get into everything that happened or the things that impact the 49ers and the things that I think are important. Not going to take you too long today because, hey, I am on vacation, got some college basketball bets to lay down here in Lake Tahoe. But I had to get this out there and talk a little bit about the newest signing for the San Francisco 49ers. We have some contract detail information on both of the major signings that impact the 49ers, and more new players are hitting the market every day, it seems like. It's kind of an odd time to start dropping players, but there are some new players on the market as well that might interest the 49ers. So where should we begin? Let's start with reminding you to subscribe, rate, and review the show on iTunes. I really appreciate all you folks that are reviewing the show on iTunes. Been getting glowing reviews, and I really do appreciate each and every one of those, and I do read those, and I take the feedback, whether it's via email or on Twitter or on those reviews. I love that stuff, and it helps me make a better show, and so I appreciate all of you guys. And hit me up on Twitter at BDPeacock. Email the show, LockedOn49ers@gmail.com. If you want to get involved in any mailbag episodes, or just say hi, or just whatever, talk about pickles and things, because that tends to happen sometimes as well. All right, so let's get into the first thing I think we should talk about is probably, let's go with signing number one, Weston Richburg, a player I've liked, player I've talked about here on the show. He was one of my top candidates for the 49ers coming into the offseason before they signed Daniel Kilgore, and apparently they're still okay with bringing in a top center, and I think he should play center, and I think that's where Weston Richburg will play. I think he's going to be the starting center. That's his best position. And the 49ers haven't added any guards, so there's going to be a battle at guard, and that could involve Daniel Kilgore. Maybe you could see Kilgore starting at center and Weston Richburg playing guard, but there's still Eric Magnuson, who's a rookie from last year that the 49ers really liked, an undrafted free agent. Don't know really what to expect out of Joshua Garnett. He's changed his body. He's a hardworking guy. They asked him to change his body, and he did. So we'll see how he looks. Maybe he's the future, and he lives up to that first-round billing and becomes a stud. Lakin Tomlinson's still around. We got Zane Beadles that I thought might have been cut by now, but they're going to let him go into camp. It looks like they don't have a cap crunch, so they're going to let Zane Beadles come into camp and fight for a spot, and I'm sure they're going to add some draft picks as well. But let's get into Weston Richburg. We have details on the numbers from that five-year contract he signed with the 49ers, and it's worth up to $47.5 million, a little bit more than I expected, which is a theme right now for pretty much every player that signs with every team on the first day of the new league year. So that's a little bit over $9 million a year for Weston Richburg, and that makes him the second highest paid annually center in the NFL, ahead of some very good centers in the league. But here are some details. This is from Pro Football Talk on the NBCSports.com network. Signing bonus, $9.3 million. The 2018 base salary is fully guaranteed at $3 million. There is a lot of, it's another Parag contract. So the numbers look huge, but it's not all guaranteed money. It can go a lot of different directions. Hopefully, this is the case with all the players. Hopefully, they earn every cent of these contracts, because that means they're playing at a high level. The base salary, $3 million. The 2018 roster bonus due the fifth day of the league year is $4.2 million, fully guaranteed. In 2019, guaranteed for injury at signing. So this is fully guaranteed as of April 1st, but only guaranteed as of injury starting when he signs his contract. That's a $5.5 million base salary in 2019. In 2020, the base salary starts to go up a little bit. We've got guaranteed for injury at signing, fully guaranteed on, again, April 1st, 2020, $6.5 million. And then the base salary goes up in 2021 to $7.85 million. 2022, base salary goes up to $8.65 million. 2021 is an option year that must be exercised by the end of the 2020 season, and 2022 is an option year that must be exercised by 2021. So the year before, they have to exercise the next year's option deal. That's for 20 and 21. The deal also includes $16.5 million fully guaranteed at signing, with another $12 million in rolling injury guarantees that become fully guaranteed on the standard date of April 1st. So convoluted contract there. All that is to say, it looks like a huge contract. It's not exactly huge. If he earns every cent of it, that means he earned it. Kind of a similar story to what we saw with the Richard Sherman contract. He's a great player. He's undervalued in the league. I think he's a player I love coming out, so that might be some confirmation bias on my part, but I love that Kyle Shanahan and the scouting staff from the 49ers are seeing a lot of the things that I saw in Weston Richburg coming out of Colorado State, and he was really in the wrong scheme with the New York Giants is what it boils down to me. I think he can have the best years of his career without a doubt in San Francisco. Okay, moving on to the next big signing for the 49ers, Jerick McKinnon, a.k.a. Jet. He wears number 21. There's a lot to talk about with this player. First of all, four-year contract. The 49ers agree to terms with Jerick McKinnon, former running back from the Minnesota Vikings, up to $30 million contract. And too much money? Yeah, a little bit more than I would have paid, I think, for Jerick McKinnon, who is most likely a third-down running back. He's not your every-down guy. Right now, the 49ers have... let's get into that. The 49ers right now... Well, first of all, Kyle Shanahan, it's becoming pretty clear Kyle Shanahan has a type when it comes to running backs. Jerick McKinnon, 4.41 40 time, running 4.3s unofficial at his pro day and at the combine. Matt Breida, 4.38 at his pro day. Joe Williams, 4.41, identical to Jerick McKinnon, official 40 time at the combine. Raheem Mostert, 4.34 40 time at his pro day. He did not get an invite to the combine. Jeremy McNichols, the slow guy of this group, cruising down the 40-yard dash with a cane at 4.49 seconds. So a lot of speed, not a lot of size with this running back group right now for the 49ers, unless you're counting Kyle Juszczyk in this group, and he can carry the ball a little bit. But and all these running backs are right around just under the 200-pound mark. So Kyle Shanahan has built a stable of backs that are all somewhat similar. Their skill sets aren't exactly similar, but as far as speed, and this is pretty obvious by now with Kyle Shanahan, whether it's receivers, running backs, he wants explosive players. And even Trent Taylor, who is 5'8", 180 pounds or whatever he was at the combine, ran at 4'6", the guy can separate like nobody's business. He's got quicks. And he brought in one of the fastest guys in the NFL in Marquise Goodwin last year. He wants players that separate. I don't expect the 49ers to add big, loping, slow wide receivers just because they need a tall guy that can stand in the end zone and out-jump people for the ball. I just don't think that's what Kyle Shanahan wants. And looking at the running backs, he hasn't added anybody that looks like your traditional bell cow lead back. Now, might they add that in the draft? I think they could. I think they could stand to add somebody that's got sweet feet but still has some size and can do some damage on the goal line, that can be someone that could really carry the load at running back. But right now, I don't know. I almost feel like Kyle Shanahan doesn't care if he has one of those guys. He wants to get players outside. He wants to get guys out in that outside zone scheme, get them in space, get them upfield and gouging teams. He wants chunk plays, and that's what he's got right now in his running back group. And Jerick McKinnon, I think, I mean, he averaged for his career 4.0 yards per carry. Where he's going to make his money in the NFL is as a receiver. This from Sage Rosenfels, former longtime backup NFL quarterback. He is the host of Locked On Vikings here on the network. He on Twitter said, quote, Shanahan will use Jet McKinnon everywhere. He will be half running back and half wide receiver. He will be worth the price tag. So that's exciting. That's from someone who covers the Vikings and has seen Jerick McKinnon play. And about that price tag, Adam Schefter reporting that the Niners were in a bidding war with the New York Jets, so maybe that's why that price tag maybe raised a little bit higher than expected. Aaron Wilson on Twitter, at @AaronWilson_NFL. He covers the league. Jerick McKinnon, 49ers deal, $36.9 million, $14.3 million guaranteed, $2 million signing bonus, salaries of 4.2 in year one, 3.7 in year two. Then it jumps to 6.5, 6.9, and $5.5 million in the last 3 years of the deal. And then he has a $6.9 million option bonus for 2021 to be exercised prior to the 2020 league year. So some of those years at the end, I would be surprised, even if Jerick McKinnon is a good player, that he sees some of those at the end. But he could become that guy. Who knows? And a couple more details here. This is from Albert Breer. Jerick McKinnon gets $12 million in 2018 and $22.9 million over the first 2 years of his four-year $36.9 million million dollar deal. Caveat, only first year is fully guaranteed, but the money is really good. So if he earns it, he continues to get it. Only year one is fully guaranteed. So right now it's on the credit card, right? It's Monopoly money because it could all disappear. This could become a $12 million contract for 1 year for Jerick McKinnon when you include his base salary plus all his guaranteed and signing bonus stuff. So that's what it looks like right now. It's a lot of money for someone who looks like he's going to be a third down back. And then when you add that to what I was talking with Nick on Wednesday about the third down back situation, we already have a pretty good third down back in Kyle Juszczyk. When you're talking about the 49ers right now, Kyle Juszczyk's still going to be the best pass-blocking running back they have, even though that's something that Jerick McKinnon can do. And the guy's stacked, by the way. Jerick McKinnon might look like a scat back. A dude's, 5'9", 210, something like that. I think he still has the combine record for bench press reps for a running back. This guy had one of the freakiest combines ever. Vertical jump, bench press reps, 40 time, all amongst the best of his group and still amongst the best of guys who have worked out at the running back position that are in the league right now. Size is, height exactly is not one of them. But just as a running back, he doesn't wow you. But he's going to make his money again as a receiver. That's why he was brought in. That's why they pinpointed him as a player they wanted to bring in, and they were aggressive. This is the prudently aggressive part. They were prudent about the players they targeted in free agency, and this is what it sounds like happened. They basically had meetings. They said, okay, who are the most important? Well, Kyle Shanahan's like, look, I need a dynamo in the passing game on offense as a running back. And they identified young Jerick McKinnon, Jet McKinnon, all of his athleticism, how good he is in the passing game. They said, this is the guy we want. Okay. And then, okay, well, what do you want to do? And I want a center. I want to upgrade the center position. It's really important this offense. I want to make sure I am set at center and someone who could potentially be better than Kilgore. At the very worst, we want to be as good as Daniel Kilgore at center, but we could be better. And this is the best center on the market, so let's target him. And so that was the prudent part. Okay, maybe not big splashy names. Like, those were the prudent targets. And then that's the aggressive part. So the aggressively prudent is more like prudently aggressive. They found these players, then they paid them what they needed to pay to get them in-house. So those are the big additions for the 49ers. I wouldn't call it underwhelming, but probably for a lot of 49ers fans, it's definitely not overwhelming. It's not what you would have expected for how much cap space they have. They didn't really go big in free agency, but stay the course. I like these two players. Maybe they got a little bit too much money. It's not going to impact their caps. I don't think it's really a big deal. They can get out of these deals if they need. Hopefully they don't need to. I don't think they will need to, at least for a short time with either one of those players. They brought in some good players, and they're still trying to draft their stars, and I think that's something they decided from day one. I think that's probably the smart way to play this thing. I've seen some stupid contracts out there for some teams, and we'll talk about a couple of those in a second. But right now, that's where the 49ers are at, and I like the players they brought in. That's the bottom line. Okay, let's move on around the league a little bit. I want to talk about Ian Rappaport. Oh, you know what? Real quick, one more note on Jerick McKinnon that I didn't talk about yet. A really interesting story that I learned about that I didn't really know about So Jerick McKinnon and Matt Breida were both teammates now. They both went to the college Georgia Southern, small school. There's a really cool story about a game that Georgia Southern went down to Florida at Florida in 2013 and beat the Gators 26-20 without completing a pass. Let me say that again. Small school of Georgia Southern goes down to Florida, beats the Florida Gators in Florida 26-20. Georgia Southern did not complete a single pass. They run a triple option scheme. Jerick McKinnon was a quarterback in college, a quote-unquote quarterback. Him and another running back, I'm drawing a blank on his name, Ellison, I believe, was his last name. They traded off as running back slash quarterbacks. In this game, Jerick McKinnon did not attempt a pass or complete a pass. Ellison attempted three passes, didn't complete any of them. Jerick McKinnon ran for like 135 yards, scored a touchdown. This is when Matt Breida was just a rookie in 2013. He just returned a couple kicks. He wasn't really involved much in the offense. But really cool story there. I thought that was interesting. I wanted to tell you guys about that. Matt Breida, Jerick McKinnon, teammates again, and some athleticism down there for the Georgia Southern football program from the years between 2010 and 2016. Okay, let's look around the league real quick. Carlos Hyde, no longer a San Francisco 49er. He's going to the Cleveland Browns. Hyde has agreed to a three-year deal with the Browns, going back to Ohio. Of course, he was a star running back at Ohio State. Hyde will team up with Duke Johnson, which on paper looks like a perfect complement of styles there. I love that. Hyde is a bruising early down back. Duke Johnson excelling in the passing game. So, Carlos Hyde. I liked Carlos Hyde a lot. I just don't think he was a great fit, and I think this is a better fit for him in his career. So good luck to Carlos Hyde going forward. In other Cleveland Browns news, Hyde will have one less Haas blocking for him up front in 2018, and I'll leave the heavy lifting here to Jeff Lloyd, host of Locked On Browns. But future Hall of Fame offensive lineman Joe Thomas has announced his retirement from the NFL. He was basically the best left tackle in the league 10-12 years, such a 11 years, I guess, technically, such a valuable asset. And unfortunately, the Browns were not able to do anything and build anything around Joe Thomas for really his entire career. One note about Joe Thomas's retirement, and this might make 49ers fans a little bit uneasy. He was the number 3 overall pick in 2007. Right behind Jamarcus Russell and Calvin Johnson, both also out of the league after very different careers. The 49ers had 2 first-round picks that year. Patrick Willis, yet another Hall of Fame caliber player, and also a player no longer in the league. Called it quits a little bit early, similar to Calvin Johnson. And one guy selected 28 overall who was still around. That is Joe Staley. And it makes you wonder how long Joe has left, even though he's still playing at a relatively high level. Not maybe at the level he was once at his prime, but a resurgence last year, playing very good football, one of the top offensive tackles in the league. And man, what a draft that 2007 year was. Wow. Adrian Peterson, Darrell Revis, both first-round picks in 2007, along with the names I just mentioned. High second-rounders, Paul Posluszny, Eric Weddle. Posluszny also announcing his retirement Wednesday. But, just a reminder, Trent Brown in the last year of his deal, Joe Staley, a lot of guys in his class are calling it quits. And it's already been a good run for Joe Staley. Offensive tackle is a position that probably shouldn't be ignored on draft day, even if the need doesn't seem immediate. You know, just something to look at going forward. Not pressing, but something to keep an eye on, could become pressing very quickly. Arizona Cardinals having a god-awful offseason. What are they doing over there? And look, this move, I understand this move, but the reason they had to make this move is what should be probably infuriating to Arizona Cardinals fans. Defensive back Tyrann Mathieu released by the Cardinals Wednesday, and immediately getting the questions on Twitter, is Mathieu a fit for the 49ers? Well, the first thing is, after crushing the Cardinals yesterday, they gave $20 million to Sam Bradford, then added Mike Glennon at quarterback to back him up. And there's rumors they're trying to trade up for a quarterback in the draft, and they're targeting Josh Allen, who I've been on record as saying has the most obvious bust traits, the most obvious bust skill set that you can have as a college quarterback prospect. And they gave Bradford especially a lot of money, which is probably why they have to release a player like Tyrann Mathieu. Not ideal. Arizona does have second-year safety Buda Baker ready to step in, and he might be a better player already than Tyrann Mathieu. So I get why this part of the deal makes sense for them. They're paying Tyrann Mathieu a lot of money. They re-upped Mathieu right after he had that last, I think it was an ACL injury, last knee injury he had. And you know, Matthew's had multiple devastating injuries dating back to LSU. And again, in the pros, he had more injuries. And for all his instincts, Mathieu was just flat out not the same player anymore last year. I was almost sad watching Mathieu because he wasn't as dynamic of a player. It was painfully obvious. Can he still play? Yeah, I think he can. And it's worth kicking the tires, but he can probably find a better, you know, job, a better playing time situation, and maybe guaranteed starting job somewhere just based on his reputation. You know, a slot, safety, hybrid role. I don't think he can get that kind of deal with the 49ers. But yeah, unfortunate how quickly his career is deteriorating just because of all the injuries. Such a fun player to watch in his prime, but yeah, he wasn't that guy anymore. Maybe he can get some of that back as he moves away from his latest injury, but yeah, it doesn't look good for him. Okay, that's going to do it for me, guys. Appreciate you joining me here again on this Thursday edition of Locked On 49ers, and I'm going to go get back to the sports book and watch a little bit of college basketball and maybe bet on a few games, maybe hit the craps table. Maybe a little blackjack. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. Hanging out with some friends and just having a good time up here in Lake Tahoe. And there's snow everywhere. It's beautiful. And I'll be back on Monday with you guys. And I'm sure we'll have a lot more to talk about right here on Locked On 49ers.